You're so welcome to our evening Bible study service. We give God the glory and the honor for He has given us this opportunity to come and study His Word. As we go into the Word tonight, let's commit this time to God in prayer. We thank you so much, Lord, for your presence. We thank you so much for your grace and mercy, for your love and kindness to us, Lord. We thank you for this, your word, O God, is bread. It is life to us, O God. And we, O God Almighty, tonight subject ourselves to its authority, that even as you watch over it to see its fulfillment in our lives, may it bear forth great fruit as it is sown in our hearts, that we proclaim to be good ground, that shall cause fruit, that shall increase and remain to the glory of your name. We pray for the opening of the eyes of our understanding and the ease of our comprehension of you, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone amongst us who is not yet born again? Good. So tonight, the title of our message is Jesus Christ Crucified, the Excellent Wisdom of God's Mind. Jesus Christ Crucified, the Excellent Wisdom of God's Mind. And we'll majorly be studying from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Having been introduced to the essence of the power of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ as Paul's focus of ministry last week, where he emphasized the veracity or the truthfulness of Jesus Christ being both the power and the wisdom of God, whose death at the cross, we said, was the crescendo of all the attributes of God made manifest to the world, thereby validating the message of the cross as the only viable expression of God to the world, which we see him reiterating in chapter 2 today. I believe you're there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we could read, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom of God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Praise God. Perhaps for me personally, I took it that being well inspired of the Holy Spirit, that the Corinthians were but babes spiritually, Paul reminded them that he had purpose, that all they needed was the clear, simple message of Jesus Christ's crucifixion for their faith to be genuine. He determined to know nothing among them, as we had pointed it out last time, as says verse 2 here, but Jesus Christ and him crucified, to make a show of no other knowledge than this, to preach nothing, to discover the knowledge of nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Not this, that Christ in his person and offices is the same substance of the gospel and ought to be the great subject of the gospel's minister preaching, because we still talked about it last time, how all of scripture from Genesis and Revelation and all of time is reset by Christ's highest office expressed at Calvary. Amen? Amen? So, Paul made it his business to display the banner of the cross and to invite people under it. And not that he was intimidated by them, as we see him here saying that, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. It wasn't that he was timid amongst them. He did not get stage fright when he was preaching to them. But he wanted to make sure that he did not make the gospel of none effect by a reliance on human wisdom as he delivered it. So that made him conscientious. That word means being thorough, being careful, and being vigilant. So it made him thorough, careful, and vigilant as he shared the word, lest he adulterated it. We saw last week of how terrible it can be that the entire weight of God's message of revelation to the world can still be adulterated. So, he made sure that he did not adulterate it so that he would sincerely rely upon its being empowered by the Holy Spirit to work effectively in their lives, by the Holy Spirit's external operation in signs and miracles, and also his internal influences on the hearts of men. Because when the word of the Lord comes forth empowered and led by the Holy Spirit, he himself knows who needs what and what their points of need would be for them to be benefited off from the word. And he himself knows how best those hearts to whom the message is going will receive it. We just stand up here and teach as we were inspired to prepare. But the Holy Spirit must have each and every one of you have your various points of need met according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Amen? That's why we must always look upon God for the deliverance of his word and not the men that deliver it. So, the Apostle Paul wanted that their faith would not stand in the wisdom of man, but the power of God, that they may not be drawn by human motives, nor overcome by mere human arguments, lest it should be said that either rhetoric or logic had made them Christians. Because then, if you remember what we considered still in chapter 1, not many wise, not many rich or wealthy have been benefited of the treasure of God's word. Not so? So, for anyone to declare that I could get the logic of the message would be to falsify the truth of the message. Or for anyone to say that I could understand the argument of the message would be to falsify the truth of that very message. But if someone would say I got the power of the message, because that would what that is what would make them have faith and obey the message, then that would be the truth of the message. Are we together? So when nothing but Christ crucified was plainly preached, the success was then founded not on human wisdom, but divine evidence and operation. The gospel was so preached that God may appear and be glorified in it all. Amen? Pastor David Guzik said that many people used slick, entertaining, or even deceptive means to lure people into the church. And then they justified by saying, we are drawing them in and then winning them to Jesus. But he says that the principle stands. When you draw with what you draw them with is what you draw them to. I read that from David Guzik. That with what you draw them in is what you draw them to. So if someone's faith is in the wisdom of men and not the power of God, if someone can be persuaded into the kingdom by human wisdom, then they can equally be persuaded out of the kingdom by human wisdom. But if they are brought in by the power of God, then nothing can counter the word or power of God. Amen? Hallelujah. So there's no reason why people should have gimmicks to make sure that people accept Jesus Christ as Lord, God, and Savior. Because in the first place, it is Jesus seeking them, not them seeking him. You get that? So all they need to do is avail themselves to his power. If many people come with an expectation of anything other than Jesus in a service, then if they were to get it, say, by hook or crook, that is what they will go with. You get that? Do you understand that? Webagamanti chitole no chitola, webagamanti chitwale no chitwala, webagamanti chikwate no chikwata. Other than you receiving Jesus Christ, then that's what you'll go with. But you would have missed Jesus. Not so? And then when you get down the stairs and the thief takes it from you, I'm just quipping anyway. But I think you see the truth of why we should pay attention to the message as of that coming of Jesus, not of what we can get from him or about him. From verse 6 to 16, we see in this part of the chapter the apostle showing them that though he had not come to them with the excellency of human wisdom, with any of the boasted knowledge and literature of the Jews or Greeks, yet he had communicated to them a treasure of the truest and the highest wisdom. So let us not just start thinking that Paul did not have the vocabulary to excite these Corinthians, because he had just come from Athens. And you remember in chapter 17, remember, here it is in chapter 18 of Acts. But in chapter 17, before he came to Corinthians, you remember the arguments he had made in the Areopagus with those guys, how he had told them of what the Stoics and the Epicureans were saying. If you haven't read, please go to Acts 17. So he had enough argument. But he knew this is not what would work here. You get that? But still we saw that in Athens, some people still got born again, yeah? And they followed him. But then he was chased out of the place and he moved to Corinth. So he says that we speak wisdom among those who are perfect or mature, among those who are well instructed in Christianity. And those days it was the message of the way. And some of those that are well instructed in that way, or the message of the way, have come to maturity in the things of God. It is those that receive the doctrine as divine, and as they receive it in humility and in absolute trust and faith and confidence, they have it illuminated by the Holy Spirit, because he then opens their eyes of understanding. That's what all of us would be up to. that whenever we are sitting to listen of God's word, we are opening our Bibles and not only reading them, but seeking for the opening of the eyes of our understanding to, if I could call it, decipher the message. Because remember, at the beginning of this message, we say that it is individualized. All right? It is your message. So don't go home saying that, I hope that person heard it. It was really their message. No. It is your message. It is my message. So you don't just read because we are doing chapter 2 today, the day of the Lord, and then we go. No, but have the message that the Lord is speaking to you about in the scriptures open when you have that opportunity for them to be open. Because as we reiterated last time, we're a Bible teaching church with a mission to love and disciple, about which we are all supposed to be of the same mind. Amen? So, they then not only understand the plain history of Christ as Paul shares the message of the cross with them and him crucified, but they are able to discern the deep and admirable designs of the divine wisdom therein. Though what we preach is foolishness to the world, he says, it is wisdom to those that are able to receive that message. And they are made wise by it, because they rely upon the grace of God to have what is theirs. What is mine tonight is what I've come for the service for. Are we together? Discernment of spiritual matters is not rocket science, because it is not science. It is spiritual sense, because you just have to open your inner man to receive what the word of God is saying to you. 21. Those who are wise themselves are the only proper judges of what is wisdom. Not indeed the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world, but the wisdom of God in a mystery. Not worldly wisdom, but divine wisdom. Not such as the men of this world could have discovered, nor such as worldly men under the direction of pride and passion and appetite and worldly interest and the destitute of the spirit can receive. Because many times you have your pride and your passions and your appetites and your personal interests in life, and that's what you want to go to God with, to receive from him. Even though you have sung that song, I Surrender, you want to go to God with your appetites, with your pride, with your passions, with your appetite. You want to see how perhaps if you get a trick or two, a philosophy or three steps, that you'll be able to live righteous. You understand me? So that you can write down those steps that you'll be applying in your life daily. Instead of surrendering yourself to what he's telling you, and basically he's telling you to receive Jesus Christ as Lord over all of your life. That's what he keeps on telling us. And such judgment is different from the judgment of God, because God sees not man as man sees. God sees us by his wisdom, like he stated in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8, his ways are much higher than our ways. His thoughts are much higher than our thoughts. Just as the heavens high above the earth is. Not so? So, the Lord's wisdom teaches us something quite different from what passes under the philosophies or the teachings of the world. It is not the wisdom of politicians, nor philosophers, nor even rabbis. Not such as they teach things that someone doesn't need to know. But the thing is that when you listen to politicians and to philosophers and to rabbis, instead of listening to God, you go with what their wisdom is giving you. You do not go with what the wisdom of God has for you. Do we get it? There are some politicians who are spiritual, who are Christians, who are born again, who are spirit-filled. There were rabbis even in Jesus' day who were well-renowned. And there are many philosophers, there are even doctorates that they hold, especially in psychology. Many of them hold doctorates in psychology. And there are many orators, so eloquent in speech. But if we listen to them, other than receiving the wisdom of God, then we miss out on what God has for us. And we only take what mere man has for us. And then, therefore, we are shortchanging ourselves. You go in the presence of God not to receive from men, but You go in the presence of God not to receive from men, but to receive from men. Unless you do not go in the presence of God. So, this wisdom, like we are told in this passage, God had kept a long time to himself, concealing it from the world. And even though to the Jews, the Israelites, he kept on revealing it to them in types through all the generations, even from Genesis with Adam, through Moses, Abraham, and all these other guys, even David and Solomon. This wisdom, the Lord, in the fullness of time, revealed in Christ Jesus. Amen? So, for us who, because I got it from the beginning of the service, all of us have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, have gotten that privilege. It's such a great privilege, not so? Amen? It's such a great privilege because to us, these types have been unveiled. These mysteries have been made plain. And these prophecies have been interpreted. And the secret counsels of God have been published and laid open. Even that which was told Daniel to seal until the end of the ages. I'm sure now we know. Because we are connecting Daniel with revelations. Having the entire canon of scripture. Not so? So, it's a great privilege that we must make use of by opening ourselves to that blessing. Reading your Bible and praying every day. Just sitting down and saying, God, here I am, speak to me today. Speak to me through your word. Show me Jesus in scripture. Let me understand then, like we have seen him in Leviticus, all this time we have been studying Leviticus. He's smeared in the entire book. So, it's such a great privilege and honor that we have been given. Personally, until I had come to that understanding, it really bothered me how my friends in high school would get A's in divinity and still ascribe to no faith in God. Because I went to one of those bright so-called schools and my friends were getting A's in divinity. But for a better way of putting it, as atheists, they still ascribe to no faith in God. And it used to bother me because me, I got born again in S1 when I just joined secondary school. And I could clearly experience the power of the Holy Spirit, His graces and mercy and His wisdom in just simple scripture read from the Good News Bible. Then I went to the Living Bible. That was my favorite translation. It was until I had come to this understanding that much as God is no respecter of persons, there are those that yield to him and he opens themselves to him. He opens himself to them. Praise God. Let that be us always. Because this great honor that was put upon the apostles to be entrusted with the revelation of God's wisdom is such a great and honorable privilege for Christians to have this glorious wisdom discovered to them. And the wisdom of God discovered in the gospel, the divine wisdom taught by the gospel, prepares our lives for everlasting glory and happiness in the world to come. Praise God. So, it wouldn't be for you to try to understand the Trinity or to understand how long eternal life is. It wouldn't be for any of us. But what God reveals to us, that because I'm sealed by His Holy Spirit, I'm destined to eternity. I mean, that makes me confident that there is eternity. Not so. Because then daily, as I lay myself before the Lord's feet and receive of the Holy Spirit, I get more assurance that the seal by which I'm sealed into eternity is a reality. Twitch together. So whether I can't describe how long or where eternity is, because I know of assurance that it's a reality, I just continue on. Amen? And that's worth knowing. Not so? When you are told that when you believe in Jesus Christ and his death for you as an appropriation of your sins, as that he died for your sins, and therefore you are declared righteous before God, and you believe it and receive the forgiveness of your personal sins, and instantly receive freedom from guilt. Do you need anyone else to explain to you that you have received freedom from guilt? Do you? You don't. For you, it's a reality. Not so? In that, even though someone hasn't forgiven you and you are sure God has forgiven you, you feel the joy and peace and righteousness of God. Not so? Because it's a reality for you. Can you explain that in the wisdom of men? I'm sure you can't. Because logic cannot explain that. Not so? Not so? And even as the Apostle Peter put it in 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, that as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you or we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Amen? We know of a surety that when we receive these promises of God, that he assures us with various witnesses, testimonies of the proof that they worked in so-and-so's lives. Amen? We then assure that we have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Because this corruption is the nature of sin that came to destroy the world. But as we believe in the promises of God, we live in obedience to him. And the more we grow in obedience to him, is the freer we get from the corruption that had come to destroy nature, that had come to destroy us. Amen? So if we get all these promises as ours, as belonging to us personally, then we know that for sure we are destined to experience the glory of God, both in this world and in the world to come. And this becomes our reality as we partake of what is rightfully ours, the mind of Christ, the mind of God, which Paul commends to us in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 11, where he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." If I and you were of that same mind, take note of the characteristics of this mind. Take note of the level of humility. Take note of the level of humility that causes God to disown all the glory he deserves. The creator of heaven and earth becoming a creation. Well, we know that he was still brought in a special way, but he was actually brought. And as men were spitting upon him, slapping him and beating him, imagine that was God. Take note of the level of humility that took him all the way to dying like a thief on the cross. Take note of the level of obedience. Take note of the level of obedience that made him go all the way to Calvary for me and for you. I'm trying to express as simply as I can the characteristics of that mind of Christ, that mind of God that Paul commends to us in Philippians chapter 2. Take note of the results being the level of glorification unto God the Father. And that, my brother and sister, is the summary of Jesus Christ crucified, the excellent wisdom of God's mind. Not so? There are no formulas there. Simanyasin, what, pi 2, what, nothing. It is not there. Dx, dy, simanyi find x. Just take note of the level of humility. Take note of the level of obedience. Take note of the results of all of that. The bronze serpent Moses was instructed to make in Numbers 21, verse 8 and 9, you could note and refer there later, would truly have made no scientific remedy to the snake bites that were killing the Israelites in the wilderness after they had murmured against Moses and God. And yet those that looked upon it lived if they had been bitten by the deadly snakes. Not so? To which Jesus Christ himself related when he said in John 3, verse 14 to 18, when he said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him may be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Amen? And again, brother and sister, that is the summary of Jesus Christ crucified, the excellent wisdom of God's mind. Hallelujah. May each and every one of us take it literally as our salvation. Amen? And walk in it. Let us walk in the righteousness, peace, and joy that are ours, in God. Let us enjoy him, knowing that he's much more precious than any precious ruby or wealth that can be compared to anything. Let us take him as the fondest of friends that knows all about us and still loves us with an everlasting love and a perfect love at that. Amen? Because that, again, I say, is the summary of Jesus Christ crucified, the excellent wisdom of God's mind. Praise God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, because the simplicity and the clarity of the message that you give us, by which we must have absolute faith to cause us to live as your children, obedient to you, and crying out, "Abba, Father, Jehovah, God Almighty," is what is our portion, Lord. May we know, God, of the truth of your judgments. May we know, God, of the truth of your love, your precepts, Lord, your counsels, Lord. May we know, God, of the truth that we, O God, are told, if we receive, would set us free indeed. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. God bless you.